is a presentation of WYM, Westminster Youth Ministry. God has given us emotions. The way that we feel comes out through these emotions. This can be a good thing. However, oftentimes, our emotions can lead us to say and do things that we don't put much thought to. In this study called I've Got This Feeling, Emotion in the Bible, we are going to spend this semester looking at different types of emotion and seeing how the world views those emotions and what is the biblical view. We hope you enjoy.
Well, let's get started. I'm going to pray for us. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this evening. We thank you for this time that we can come together and learn more about you. We do ask that as we look tonight at how we are to handle our disappointment, our hurt, and our betrayal, Lord, that you would teach us from your scriptures and help us to apply these things to our hearts. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I want to open by quoting John MacArthur. And he says this, "The greatest pain we'll ever know is relational. It's the potential of people to devastate us, destroy us, and abuse us. The most serious pain we suffer in the world comes from an unfulfilled and devastating relationship. No disease is as painful as rejection. No disease is as painful as false accusation. And no disease is as painful as misrepresentation, betrayal, and hatred." So I think you would agree with me that there's nothing that feels worse than being betrayed by the people that you truly love and enjoy, right? How does that feel? A what? Pretty bad. Okay. None of us wakes up and says, "Man, I really hope somebody betrays me today. It's gonna be awesome." Yeah. Right? Okay, nobody says that. Tonight, I want to look at how we are to handle what it feels like to be disappointed in somebody, what it feels like to be hurt by somebody, what it feels like to be betrayed by somebody. So tonight, here's our main point: our disappointment, hurt, and betrayal must be dealt with in a way that looks towards the eternity that we have in Jesus. That's going to be our focus tonight. We have to look towards eternity to understand how God works through those things. So we're going to break up into our groups. Asa, why don't you start us? Number 1 to 3, go around the room.
3, 2.
All right. Y'all just got there? Let's do this. Okay, so we're going to look at disappointment in the Bible. So group 1, would somebody from that group read Numbers 26 to 12 for me? Okay, just to set this up, this is the episode where Moses was commanded to do what to the rock? What did God tell him? He told him to speak to the rock. And here's what Moses does instead.
"Then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and their cattle. And Moses took the staff from before the Lord as he commanded them. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and said to them, Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, Because you did not believe in me, to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the Lord of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I gave them."
Okay. So Moses distrusted God's words. God told him to speak to the rock, but he took it into his own hands and chose to hit the rock with a stick. What was the result of Moses not trusting what God had told him to do?
He didn't get to lead the people into the promised land?
Yeah, he didn't get to actually go into the promised land. Now, can you imagine how frustrating and how disappointing it would be to wander in the wilderness for 40 years and then God tell you, "Oh, and by the way, you get to make it to like the last step, and then I'm going to keep you from going in." Can you see how crushing that would be? How frustrating that would be? So let's look at what happens as a result of that. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 3, 23 to 29 for me.
"And I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you have always shown your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do such works and mighty acts as yours? Please let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, that good hill country in Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me because of you and would not listen to me. And the Lord said to me, Enough from you. Do not speak to me of this matter again. Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift up your eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward. And look at it with your eyes, for you shall not go over this Jordan. But charge Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he shall go over at the head of this people, and he shall put them in possession of the land that you shall see. So he remained in the valley opposite Beth Peor."
Okay. So, again, God brings Moses right up to the edge. He told him you would take this people into the land, and then Moses disobeyed, and God is punishing him for that. So he takes him to the top of this mountain, and he just gets like a small glimpse of the promised land. It's almost like that moment where you're just reaching for it, but you just can't reach out and get what you need. How do you think Moses felt at this point? Hopefully a little bit, sad that he disobeyed God, but what other emotions do you think he was feeling?
Regret.
Regret, okay.
Anger.
Anger.
Kind of
we talked a little bit, like, maybe he was a bit jealous of Joshua, okay. and maybe he felt, like, a little bit sort of betrayed. Like, even okay. if he was the one that disobeyed, he kind of probably still felt that.
Okay, yeah. I saw a hand over here. Okay. Yes. I would imagine that Moses was incredibly disappointed at this moment. Okay. Because he can see where he's supposed to go, but he can't go there because God's not going to let him. He probably felt a little bit devastated. Okay. He has to hand the keys over to Joshua, and Joshua gets to go in and take over the land. Okay. Has someone ever taken credit for something that y'all have done?
Mm-hmm.
It stinks, yeah. right? Feels like betrayal. Okay. And I don't think that's what Joshua's doing, but that's probably how it might have felt to Moses. He gets to be the one that goes into the land, even though I've been the one leading this people up to this point. So there's probably a lot of disappointment and frustration in his heart. So let me ask this question. When you feel disappointed about something, what other type of emotions come up in your heart?
Anger.
Okay. Anger?
Sadness.
What else? Okay. Y'all are probably disappointed about something right now. Okay. How does that make you feel?
Disappointed.
Discouraged. Discouraged. Okay. Yeah, so there's a lot of things that disappointment can bring up in us. Yeah, just a few examples. We can get angry and cast blame or frustration towards others because we're disappointed about something. We can develop shame associated with disappointment. We're disappointed about something and we just sink into a hole because we don't want anybody to know that we're sad or frustrated about something. Worldly wisdom teaches that since everything should be about us, then it's okay to take our disappointment out on others, right? Culture teaches us that. You're the one that's at the center. Therefore, when someone lets you down, you need to make sure you let them know about it, and you let them know about it as harshly as you can, okay? That's why we throw pity parties all the time, right? Who here's ever had themselves a pity party, okay? We all have, okay? And who is at the center of the pity party? We are, okay? We love that. And why do we throw pity parties, guys? Why? Because we feel bad, okay? But we also want everyone to know how disappointed and frustrated we are about something.
It makes you feel better if you're getting a lot of attention.
Yeah. It's a coping mechanism.
Yeah,
in
feel
sense.
Validated.
Okay. That's how we can handle disappointment. Let's talk about hurt and betrayal. So group two, Judges 16. And if y'all can remember, a year, maybe a year and a half ago, we went through this section of Judges. We did the life of Samson, and we looked at this passage, but I want to look at this passage again. So somebody from group two, read Judges 16, 18 to 22 for me.
Called the Lord of the Philistines, saying, come up again, for he has told me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in her hands. She made him sleep on her knees, and she called and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and the Lord left him. And she said, the Philistines are upon me, Samson. And he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out at that other time and shave myself through. For he did not know that the Lord had left him. And the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes, and brought him down in Gazer, and bound him with bronze shackles, and he ground up the nail in his bosom. But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved.
Just set the scene here. This is probably the 15th time that Samson has been playing with fire. And he just invites sin closer and closer into his life. And here's the culmination of that. Okay, he gives in to Delilah and tells her what? Check. About what is his weakness? His hair. Okay. And what does she do? She has somebody come and cut it off. Okay, so his strength is taken from him. Okay, so how do you think Samson felt when he woke up and he was expecting to, you know, just do what he always does? Bulk up and take these guys out, but he can't. How do you think he felt at that point? Betrayed.
Defenseless.
Say what?
Defenseless.
Defenseless. Confusion. Okay. Gideon?
Pain, as his eyes were being gouged out.
Okay. Yes. A physical pain because his eyes were being gouged out. Regret. Okay. But it's this picture of betrayal. Okay. Betrayal stings. Okay. It hurts. This absolute feeling of shock and pain that comes when you find out that the person that you trusted and loved betrays you and turns their back on you. And that's what Samson is feeling here. How do we, as people, sinners, made in God's image, how do we handle betrayal on a typical basis? In the moment when you're facing betrayal, what is your go-to emotion or what is your go-to reaction?
Revenge.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Anger, revenge. Okay, what else? I heard a couple other.
Hatred.
Hatred? Okay. So what? Mm-hmm. Okay. Hannah, you got something to say?
Figuring out the best way to like, gossip in a way that like, is disguised as not gossiping, but like, you know it's going to get back to that person.
Justified gossiping, right? Like, we feel like it's justified. Okay. I heard Dave over here. We're going to lay off of Dave this week. We gave him a hard time last week. Maybe we'll make up a new illustration this week. But Dave, he's had enough. We typically don't handle betrayal and hurt well. Okay. Why? Because it's personal. Okay. We feel like someone has gone after our character or someone has just turned their back on us and stabbed us in the back. But a whole range of emotions can take over you in that moment and make you do what? Things that you might regret, right? Who here in the heat of the moment has ever said something to somebody that you instantaneously were like, I really wish I didn't say?
Yeah.
Right? Some of you maybe have said that to people in the room. We always have those moments, right, where we're betrayed and our instant reaction is to lash out and defend and to self-justify and to attack. And oftentimes when we do that, we can make the situation worse. And God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to wrestle with our emotions and handle them well. So we can have feelings of disgust, actions of violence and retaliation, all the way to complete ending and cutting off of relationships. And that's not how God wants us to work with these things. Let me end this section with this question. What is the world's expectation of you when you're betrayed and hurt?
Retaliation.
Okay. Yeah, we're almost expected to retaliate, right? What else? Does the world see it as okay for you to talk bad about a person that has betrayed you? Yeah, it's encouraged, okay? It's encouraged that you go after somebody who's going after you. It's that idea of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, okay? They take that very seriously. Betrayal is a direct attack on you as an individual, so you deserve to lash out to that person. You deserve to defame them. It's expected. So you need to bring your cause for justice to that moment, okay? So the world expects us to not handle betrayal and hurt the way that the Bible teaches us how. So let's look at what the Bible teaches us. We're going to end with that. How are we to handle disappointment, betrayal, and hurt? And it's from Hebrews 11, 1 to 13. This is kind of a long section, but I think it's very important for us. So let's turn there. Somebody from this group read that for us.
Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundation, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from far, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth.
Thank you. I know that was a long section, and we could have kept reading through that chapter and seen over and over different names of people that were faithful in following God. Now, on that list of people, there are lots of them, but on that list of people, did you recognize anybody who may have experienced some sort of disappointment, betrayal, or hurt? We'll start with this group, and if y'all want to jump in, go ahead. Yeah, yeah, so he was killed by his brother. That's an ultimate act of betrayal. What about Noah? So Noah probably faced a lot of scorn when he was building the ark, right?
People were,
and that probably didn't make him feel good, okay? It probably made him feel a little bit hurt. After they had gotten off the ark, there was an incident where one of his sons shamed Noah and pretty much pointed out, ha-ha, he's naked and asleep, okay?
Yeah.
That's embarrassing, okay? That's disappointing. That's hurtful, okay? How about Abraham? Can you see something in Abraham's life where he may have been disappointed that something wasn't happening? Micah.
Wasn't getting a son or a child?
Yeah, okay, a son was promised, and it took decades for that promise to come true, okay? Can you imagine God saying, I'm going to promise this to you, and then you have to wait day after day, year after year, decade after decade. Can you imagine how frustrating or disappointing that might be? Sarah, okay? Y'all know how Sarah might have been hurt or betrayed.
Well, when Abraham, had another son.
Okay, so yeah. Yeah, so when they were struggling to have children, Sarah did what? She gave Abraham her maidservant, Hagar, okay? And all of a sudden, Hagar can just conceive right away, and then she has a baby. Can you imagine how frustrating and disappointing that may be to see that? Like, you've been trying to have a baby your whole life, and you just can't. And you've been promised that baby. But here, this servant can just come in and she can have an heir right away. That's very disappointing. How about when Abraham met Pharaoh? What did he do with Sarah? What did he say?
He said, this is my sister.
Yeah, he said, oh, Pharaoh. She's not my wife. She's my sister. Okay? So you can take her. Okay? Betrayal. He's her husband. He's supposed to love her and take care of her. But what does he do? In the face of danger, he's like, well, I'm getting out of this scot-free. This is my sister. Don't hurt me. Take her. Okay? Can you imagine what that might have felt like for Sarah? I would not have been happy, okay? Abraham would have been sleeping on the couch that night, okay? It wouldn't have been good. Or for a very, very long time, okay? We didn't read into this section, but it goes on to mention Samson. We just talked about how he was disappointed and betrayed. And we can go on and on and on. But what can we learn by reading of these people in the Scriptures? These are the faithful people of the Scriptures that the writer of Hebrews lists here. What can we learn about how they faced disappointment and betrayal? And how can we apply that to our disappointment and betrayal? Okay. Yeah, we're constantly seeing the word what in this passage. Starts with an F. There's an eighth. Faith. We hear about their faith and that their faith drove them to God. Their faith drove them to trust in God amidst their circumstances. Okay, what else?
God constantly used their disappointment in their lives to eventually, for the glorification of Him and then also to make their lives better. Even though in the moment it was really hard, He turned bad things to things.
Yeah, we'll use the example of Samson. Okay, he has his eyes gouged out. He's forced to work a mill, which was hard work. What happened right before Samson died? Well, even before that, he took faith in God, and God restored his strength, and he pushed the pillars down and brought the entire building down and killed a lot of Philistines. Okay, so the Lord used his disappointment to point him where? Back to God. And in that moment, even though he was still frustrated and probably was wishing he still had eyes, he used that moment to glorify God, right? So we can learn a lot about how other people deal with disappointment, hurt, and betrayal and apply that to ourselves. Okay, so I want you to think about, let's close with this. Think about a time that you've been really disappointed with somebody. Think about a time that you've been betrayed or hurt by somebody. And what did that feel like and how did you handle it? You don't have to answer that out loud. I really just want you to think about this question. Now I want you to think about how that other person may have felt in that moment. Okay? Maybe they felt regret for what they did, but maybe they didn't even realize that they betrayed or hurt you. Now, I think that's a good practice for us to try and put ourselves in the shoes of another. It's really hard to do that when you've been hurt by somebody, okay? Because you don't want to be in their shoes, because their shoes smell and they're awful, okay? And their shoes are hurtful because they kick you on the way out the door, okay? But I want you to really think about, you know, the Lord has given me so much grace, and it's really hard for me to show grace to somebody that's hurt me. But I really need to be thinking about how I can honor God, even through my hurt and betrayal. One writer says, no matter how badly we've failed or been hurt, if we confess our failures to God, we will find mercy. And that applies not only to us, but it applies to the person that's betrayed us. Okay? If we view others as being made in the image of God, that gives us a responsibility to give our disappointments, our hurts, our betrayals to God and trust that there can be restoration in those relationships. Because our natural tendency is to feed that anger and to feed that disappointment. And on that note, no matter how badly others have failed you, we can't just say they don't deserve grace. They don't deserve mercy. But is that true? I'll give you a hint. You have one or two options here. Yes or no? No. We can never get to the point where we can say they don't deserve mercy and grace. Now, let me say this. That doesn't mean that they deserve your trust. Okay? Does that make sense? We always need to be willing to give grace and mercy. That doesn't mean you have to lay yourself before, you know, the chopping block every time you're around this person because they're going to hurt you and betray you. There's a level of safe distance we can put between people like that. But we can never just write them off and say they're not deserving of your mercy or God's mercy. And that's a hard thing to do because we don't want to do that, right? That's not our natural tendency. Our natural tendency is to just cut off the relationship and say, we're done. But we can't do that. We have to take things to the Lord because holding on to those things, holding on to that bitterness and that pain that comes from being betrayed by somebody, it's going to shackle your faith. It really will. You know what I mean by that? If you hold on to things in such a bitter way, it will stifle your ability to grow in your faith. It really will. There have been times in my life where I've been very angry about things. And I look back on those times, and I could have learned so much more about God's grace. But I was holding myself back because I was holding on to things in such a bitter and angry way. And God doesn't want us to use those moments of disappointment, hurt, and betrayal like that. He wants us to bring those things to Him, to trust in how He's working through those things. Again, we don't have to trust the people that have hurt us over and over, but we do need to extend that mercy. And I also want to remind you that your disappointment, your hurt, and your betrayal don't define you as well. Because oftentimes we can use those things as a defining aspect of our lives. Well, people just hurt me all the time. Or people are always letting me down. Okay? And it's almost like a self-identity that we associate with ourselves. But we can't do that because our identity is in Jesus. This is a guy named David Murray in an article that he wrote about failure and disappointment. He says, when God reframes our failures and our disappointments by putting up this golden frame of His sovereignty around them, these things are transformed from ugly, abstract randomness to beautifully crafted designs. And what Murray's trying to say there is, in those moments where you have felt that pain from betrayal or disappointment, it may hurt in that moment, but God is really using that to transform you and to make it into something beautiful. Maybe you're going to learn something from that experience that you can share with somebody who's going through something similar. Or maybe you can go through something so that you can learn how to handle it the next time, and the next time, and the next time. God fully sees and understands the pain that you go through, and He wants you to learn from that pain, okay? There are moments where parents have to let their children fail in order to know how to deal with it, right? And that's what God does in these moments, okay? He's teaching us through these things. And ultimately, what's the lesson that we need to take from these things? That we need to go where? To God. Go to the Scriptures. Okay? We have to cling to Him in those times. That doesn't mean that your disappointment, your betrayal, and your hurt is just going to disappear and everything's going to be great and relationships will just magically be restored. But what it does mean is you're putting your trust in the right place. And when we put our trust in the right place, we will have a very different perspective on things. Okay? Doesn't make it easier to go through, but it gives us a certain hope. If you remember at the end of that Hebrews passage, it said, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on this earth." The writer of Hebrews is reminding us by looking at these figures, saying, you know, these people were promised things. They're probably let down by a lot of these things. They didn't see the results of these things, but they trusted who? They trusted God. And they looked towards eternity. And that's how we are to view these things. Okay, like I said earlier, the way that we focus and understand our betrayal, our disappointment, and our hurt is we have to look at it from an eternal perspective. Because when we do that, we realize, you know, this pain is temporary. One day, Jesus is going to wipe away every tear. Okay? There's not going to be any more pain, any more betrayal, no more knives in your back. Okay? If we look at it with an eternal perspective, God will shape and use those moments to teach you. Okay? So that's my encouragement to y'all tonight, is that you would trust that the Lord would do that in those moments. Lean into God when you've been hurt and betrayed by others. Amen? Amen. Let's pray, and then we'll hang out for a little bit. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time. We thank you that you have shown us repeatedly in your Scriptures how we are to handle our emotions, specifically this emotion of disappointment and hurt and betrayal. Lord, I pray for each young man and woman in this room, Lord, that even in the experiences that they may have felt today in this area, Lord, that you would really work in their hearts, point them towards you, and show them the grace that you freely extend to us each and every day. I do pray that you would help us to handle these things in godly and God-honoring ways, Lord, and help us to always bring these things to you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in. We hope this has been helpful for you. Please keep an eye out for more audio coming from WYM.